Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody, and good morning, Canada. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Rod Peterson Show on this Monday, January the 6th. It is episode number 149, coming to you out of the bunker here in beautiful Western Canada. Canada's only mid-morning sports talk show is right here. Got a big Hour 2 coming up to discuss the CFL news of the day. I'll ring the bell again, because it is breaking news, and it's a big day. The Montreal Alouettes have new owners. The CFL club has been purchased by S&S Sports Co., a corporate entity owned by Sid Spiegel and Gary Stern, entrepreneurs with a track record of hard work and success, as well as a deep passion for Canadian football. That's in the news release that came up from the CFL about 20 minutes ago. And joining us to talk about that and other things is CFL receiving king Nick Lewis joins us in the bunker. Happy New Year, Nick.
Happy New Year. How y'all doing?
Well, I'm doing great.
Fresh cut.
I see that. Who cuts your hair? Who does
Me.
That for you? You do it?
Yeah, I do it myself. You know, these haircuts, I can't be spending, you know, $15, $20, $30. Some people spend $100. How much your haircut, Rod?
Well, I give them $40.
You give
them
$40?
I think it's like $30. They give me the hot towel treatment.
No, I got my own hot towels. I just do my own.
You do that. How was the holiday season for you guys?
It was great, man. I got to went to my brother's wedding on Friday the 13th in December. And
he got married on Friday the 13th.
Yes, he did. It was a great day, though. It was a really great day. I got to see him get married. I was in the wedding.
I saw the pictures, actually. It was a sunny day, looked beautiful.
Looked great. It was great. Felt great. Christmas Eve, we were actually golfing, me, my brother, and my dad. So got to go out, and me and my brother, you know, tag team on my dad and beat him. And so it was a good
for
time.
You.
You know,
good
3 weeks
stuff.
In Texas was good.
So Paul Lapolis was with us in hour one, and he was talking about the trade. So we'll get to the Alouettes in a minute. He was talking about the trade Friday of Nick Arbuckle coming over.
Yeah.
And if you missed the clip, folks, you're going to have to want to rewind it, or you'll see it on our social media clips over the next 24 hours. But I didn't see that trade coming, Nick. How about you?
No, not at all, because one of the things that you think about is when Dinwiddie was linked to Ottawa, was Arbuckle and Dinwiddie going to Ottawa. To see that the first round pick from Ottawa going to Calgary number one pick overall if Arbuckle signs, right? So that's a pretty steep price for a quarterback, but you need a quarterback to win in this league, and they're going to have to do something really drastic to get it done, because I really still see Arbuckle going to join Dinwiddie in Toronto if they don't throw out a bunch of money at him to make him stay.
I thought the same thing, but we've seen trade and sign deals. I've seen a lot of them. James Franklin was probably the most recent, and he signed. Edmonton traded him. He signed. Kevin Glenn did it with Montreal. Who?
Darian Durant.
Same thing.
But I look at those guys, and there's not really like they didn't really have ties anywhere else. It was, I'm going somewhere I'm wanted. They're going to pay me money. That's good. But when you're Arbuckle and you had success with Dinwiddie and you've been around him for the last year or 2 years and you know who he is and now he's the head coach running the show and you know you're going to be able to take over that show. And I'm pretty sure that they've had conversations throughout this whole process. And now it's going to be interesting to see what Arbuckle does and if he goes to stays in Ottawa.
You're basically saying it's not a slam dunk.
No. I believe Ottawa could do it, but they're going to throw out a lot of money. They're probably going to give out more money than they thought they were going to have to give out bringing in a quarterback. But as we know, that position is very crucial. And you see the struggles they had last year. And, I mean, Toronto had struggles last year. Like, this is a very crucial piece, especially with Masoli re-signing in Hamilton. Right? Mm-hmm. That takes one more guy off the block that you can go out and get. Now, you know, Arbuckle's that next guy. He won in Calgary, so you would like to see Toronto and Ottawa's going to be fighting for this guy.
So with Masoli going off the board, which I'm 50-50 on being surprised or not. They know him, obviously, but they had another guy take him to the Grey Cup. But that aside, Hamilton signed him for 1 year. Does that make Arbuckle that much more valuable?
Yes, Yes, every guy off the board increases your value, especially when there's more teams than quarterbacks, right? And you're looking at this quarterback situation, and I mean, right now they really need him. You know, Toronto's sitting there waiting and seeing what's going to happen. But like I said, if Ottawa throws a bunch of money out, then Arbuckle should take it. I mean, if Ottawa throws it out, Arbuckle should take it.
Now, I have to interject. Chris O'Leary from the CFL, he is the writer for the CFL website. He's at that news conference in Montreal where they've announced the new owners of the Owls, Spiegel and Stern, Sid Spiegel and Gary Stern. Get used to the names. This from Twitter. Clark has put it up. Asked why he didn't pursue the Argonauts when they were for sale in the past. Gary Stern, new co-owner of the Alouettes, said, "Don't take this the wrong way, but the Argos suck." So he's jumped right into the deep end of CFL trash talking. I love it. So back to this discussion for a second. You know, you haven't been on the air with us, I don't think, since Ryan Dinwiddie was hired in Toronto, have you?
No.
So did that catch you off guard?
No. I'd been talking to Ryan about some things, and I knew it kind of came up late. He was really heavily involved in the Ottawa situation. I know he did an interview for Edmonton, and also there was the BC OC job. So when all these things take place and you have all these conversations, and whenever you put John Murphy in position, who's been around Dinwiddie, who knows Dinwiddie, and all these other different things, right? And I don't think it's a far stretch. I mean, his dad was a coach. You know, Dinwiddie's a very intelligent guy, and I don't think it's a far stretch. And once Ottawa put his name in the mix for head coach, then that opens him up to everyone.
I'm with you, but Dinwiddie's one of those. I'd like to say you and I are examples of once you get to know somebody, your thoughts of them is totally different than what it was. And Dinwiddie's like that too. I mean, he's fire in his eyes, fire in his belly. He exudes confidence, but he also demands confidence too, right? He kind of has head coach written all over him. And when you think, what is he, 39?
Yeah, he's not much older than me.
No, does that not sound right? I mean, there's guys in the NFL getting that opportunity at that age. So why would Dinwiddie not get that opportunity up here?
I think it's a great, you know, when he was an OC in Montreal for those 9 games, he won 8 of them. And then everything happened, and they made AC the OC, and all this stuff went on in Montreal. Then he went to Calgary, and he's been under Dave and Huff and those guys for the last 4 years. And all those things that he's learned now to take that out and to produce, right? I think he's very intelligent. He's going to have an offense that's going to be productive. He'll need a quarterback. And, you know, it's going to see how the defensive staff, you know, what he brings together with that. And I think when you play in the East, you always have a chance, yeah. Right? You believe you always have a chance, especially if you have a quarterback. You know it's almost a race to 8 games. If you can win 8 games in the West,
you could win
12,
the division, yeah.
Right? The West, you have to win 12, 13 games to try to win the division. But in the East, it's a race to 8 games. If you feel like you can win the 8 games, if you can control the East, when there's 6-7 games right there that you win. And then if you can beat one or two of the West opponents, you feel like you can control the division.
Well, you know, one more thing. There's a report this morning online that the Cleveland Browns have talked to Ryan Dinwiddie about their head coaching job. Now, I don't believe it, but these days I would believe anything. What about Chris Jones and where he may be going? Are you hearing anything?
Well, I know. He had, 10 titles here? So he's able to do everything. And I could see him putting his name in that mix as well with Cleveland. I mean, he's a smart guy. He's very defensive sound. And if you look at his job title last year, it was to talk to the GM about players and talk to the head coach about defense, right? Give his input on what he thinks the defense should do. And then Steve Wilks had the opportunity to take or not take, and you see the defense didn't play bad last year.
No, not at all.
It was the offense turning the ball over. I think they were under 20% in red zone touchdown percentage. So those things really hindered them. If they could have converted those threes into sevens, they'd have won a lot more games. So I think you never know what Jones is going to be, but when you look at intelligence, who looks at somebody who is very determined and motivated to find the best players anywhere in the world, he's one of those guys.
Well, Yeah, I'm going to talk about back to Dinwiddie in a moment, but on the Browns, I was following them really closely because of Jones, and they were projected to have 9 wins, which would have probably got him into the playoffs. They had 6, but if you watch the games, they got down to the red zone, and Baker Mayfield was complete deer in the headlights, and you've got OBJ, you've got Jarvis Landry, you've got a great tailback, so you could see why the offensive coaches would fall on their sword, but when you fire the head coach, everybody's gone, aren't they? Are you thinking they might not be?
No, I don't think it's everyone has to be gone. It depends on the relationships he built over the year and how they valued his opinions and everything else if he's got a true shot. One of the things we talk about, red zone, it's not CFL, 10-yard end zones. I believe right now the NBA court should be bigger. Guys are getting bigger and faster. The NFL field should be bigger. So now you have so much contact and collision in the open field. Now you get to the red zone and there's that little space. It's so hard to dictate, and the windows are so tight. And you really have to know where you're going with the ball and be able to fit it in. And you can't wait till a guy gets open to try to throw him the ball. And if you look right now, the 50-50 ball, jump ball, like Minnesota used yesterday, that is one of the top throws right now in the NFL, because there aren't really anything over a 50-50 ball that chance you have throwing the ball in the red zone.
Well, just on that topic, let's just jump around a little bit here. The push-off by Kyle Rudolph. Why was it not flagged? Why was it not challenged? Because it was a scoring play. Why'd they just walk off the field? Or did you not think he should? You're a receiver. Was that a push-off or not?
I say it as a push-off.
Sure.
I think it should have been a PI. But if you look at the way the NFL changed the rule, it was egregious PI calls. And you've seen a lot of PI calls that flags were thrown on that they didn't call PI. They threw a flag. I've seen guys' arms get grabbed where it made it where they couldn't catch a pass, and they still didn't overturn the rule. I don't believe that they go and overturn that rule. And it's very unfortunate, because if it's called PI, then I believe it's different. I believe Minnesota could have challenged it, and it possibly could have got overturned. So it depends on what team throws the challenge flag, if it's going to get overturned tonight.
So if you're the Saints, do you think they blew an opportunity to throw a challenge flag?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's just hard to dictate on that, because, like I said, I don't think they overturn it.
Yeah, you don't know how the call's going to go, but at least give yourself a chance is all.
And you look at the drive before that. If they get 3 and Breeze doesn't fumble, then it's a totally different game anyway. So I truly believe that the Saints had the opportunities to win the game, and they didn't.
You're a Texas guy, you Cowboys fan, Texans fan. Did I ever ask you this?
Woo, yep, a Cowboys fan.
You are. So, okay, yes. Couple questions here. And by the way, we'll be talking, going to Montreal to talk about the new Alouettes owners a little later on here in hour two, but I got to get Nick's thoughts on Jason Garrett's legacy. He's officially fired. Team put out a statement here in the last 24 hours. Garrett's gone. What's his legacy in your mind? And two, Mike McCarthy, we're hearing, is the next head coach of the Cowboys. Is that a good move or not?
Well, Jason Garrett, I'm not a huge fan. You know, I know how hard it is coaching. I know how hard it is to try to control the ship and to see that aspect of it. I thought it should have happened a few years ago. I know the players like him. I know that he goes out and they call him the clapper, because I never see him interacting with players. Belichick talks to players constantly about just simple mistakes on how to win and lose games, and I never see Jason Garrett interacting with players. And I always felt like he almost went into a different mode when they took the play calling from him. At that point, I feel like he kind of shut down and was like, well, I'm going to step back and just show you that it wasn't me. And I think that was the wrong approach. So I felt like they should have fired him a long time ago. But now they finally did, and I didn't see Mike McCarthy. I didn't see Mike McCarthy. No. With the Urban Meyer talk, I was a little bit more on that than Landry Jones. And I don't know, I'm kind of like conflicted on Mike McCarthy. He didn't win with Aaron Rodgers.
And they couldn't get along.
And now you got Dak Prescott, who's an inaccurate quarterback. You have an aging O-line that's really good, but your window is small, right? You have to pay, Byron Jones is a free agent, their number one corner. Amari Cooper's a free agent. Dak's going to be a free agent. So you have all these guys that you have to pay. And all the guys that you paid last year, none of them really performed to the level that you paid them. So now they're in a situation where do they really turn around and pay these guys? And if they do, it's going to hinder the growth of the defense that they need. And, yeah, it's a bad situation. But, you know, if you're hiring him for the next couple of years to try to right the ship, and maybe it works.
Talking with talking with Nick Lewis this morning, one thing I've heard it a lot in the last couple of weeks, that the head coaching position with the Dallas Cowboys is the most preferred job in the league, if not all of North American pro sports. And I don't see how that could be, but you're a coach, so how would you answer that?
Of course.
Okay.
Who would not want to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys? You know, I heard someone talking about it yesterday on the drive back, and you look at the Patriots, who's they talk about this 20-year dynasty, and they're still not anywhere close to being as popular as the Cowboys.
Right.
Right? And the Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl since 1995, when they won 3 in 4 years. So when you look at it from that aspect, it just makes you wonder, like, why is that? And, you know, like, don't drive up. I heard people talking about, well, the Cowboys maybe want Zimmer or Peyton or even Belichick. And they don't even wait to see what happens. They go out and get Mike McCarthy right now.
Right. But that, I think, is the only reason why, Nick, people say it wouldn't be a desired job, is you have to deal with Jerry. Because he does things the non-conventional way.
Okay, as a fan, I understand the dealing with Jerry. But think about it. As a coach and as a player, I've never met one player that didn't like Jerry Jones. Mm-hmm. And coaching-wise, he just let Jason Garrett be there for 10 years. And what does he really do? He talks openly in the media, and he might downplay you, and he might say some things about you. But you already know that.
He says the truth.
But he gives you everything you ask for. He gives you everything you need. You have the best facilities. I mean, if you've been to the Star in Dallas, you know, I was just there, I had a couple meetings with some guys there. If you've been to the Star in Dallas, you see.
That's the new practice facility. Yeah, how many years have been open? 3 years?
3 years, at the three or 4 years, and you see what they've built. This huge practice facility with fields and offices and Cowboys Club and all these different things, and he gives you everything that you could ever ask for. I mean, I remember when the Super Bowl was in Dallas, and I think it was Pittsburgh was playing someone in
Green Bay.
Green Bay.
Yeah.
And they used Matthew Stafford's high school, which is Highland Park, and Aledo, where I train kids. They used those two facilities. Both teams said those facilities were better than theirs. Right? So we're talking about NFL teams and high schools having better facilities. So if you want to look at facility-wise, and you want to look at prestige-wise, but also having an owner that goes out and gives you every possible chance to win, it's a great look for you.
Craig Smith, our director of scouting, chiming in, says he's talked with Sammy Garza about Jerry Jones, loves working for the man. Sammy Garza is the son-in-law of the great Cal Murphy, and has been with the Cowboys for many, many years. So you got Nick Lewis dropping knowledge here this morning on all things NFL and CFL. Coming up next from TSN Winnipeg, Darren Bomming will join us. I'm very interested to get the take from him on Ottawa acquiring Nick Arbuckle, because you know who's going to free agency: Zach Collaros, Matt Nichols, Chris Streveler, and LaPolice acquires Nick Arbuckle. We'll talk about that and more. Has the Bomber Grey Cup parade ended yet? Has Streveler had a breathalyzer? We'll talk about that and more. And the Alouettes have new owners. It's the Rod Peterson Show Monday morning on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Our new inventory has just arrived, and we already want it gone. Costco special member pricing is back. That means massive discounts for Costco members, plus members get a $500 Costco cash card with purchase of select new vehicles. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's largest GM dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rob.
Welcome back, everybody. On this Monday morning, big news in Canadian sports today. The Montreal Alouettes have new owners, Sid Spiegel and Gary Stern of SNS Sport Co. Steel manufacturers in Quebec are the new owners of the Alouettes. They are introduced this morning at a news conference in Montreal. We'll have Cliffy D. Pine from the Alternative.com blog coming up later on to talk about it. Monday morning sports update. Other than that, Canada's back on top of the World Juniors. Akil Thomas scored with 3:58 to go to cap a furious comeback, and Canada beat Russia 4-3 for gold on Sunday. The Flames remain perfect this season in shootouts. Dylan Dubé scored the winner in the seventh round to give Calgary a 5-4 comeback win over the Wild and Mini. Not even a brutal schedule slowing down the Tampa Bay Lightning. Steven Stamkos had a goal and a helper, and Tampa Bay beat the Carolina Hurricanes 3-1 for their seventh straight victory. They were just home or at Ottawa the day before and apparently had customs issues getting back into the States. Russell Wilson threw a 53-yard touchdown pass to DK Metcalf, and the Seattle Seahawks beat the Philadelphia Eagles 17-9 to set up a showdown with the Green Bay Packers next week in the NFC divisional round. Meanwhile, the Vikings stunned the New Orleans Saints 26-20 in overtime to win their NFC wildcard matchup. The Vikings will face the 49ers next week. And after 9.5 seasons with Dallas, Jason Garrett is out as coach of the Cowboys after missing the playoffs with an underachieving team in a make-or-break season. We're told Mike McCarthy has been hired as the next head coach of America's team. This sports update for Seat Giant. Stop paying U.S. dollars for sporting events and concerts. We have all major sporting events and concert tickets in Canadian dollars. Enter promo code RP Show and get discounts for RP Show fans. Visit seatgiant.ca. And also Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill in Saskatoon, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive. See at Wendell's. We got some gift certificates for Nick Lewis from Wendell's and Ballers for his appearance today. And just ahead of Darren Bombing from TSN Winnipeg, our daily poll question for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center: which road team has the best chance at an NFL upset this weekend? Leading the way is the Seahawks with 64.1% of the vote. You fans think the Seahawks will pull off the upset at Green Bay. Next up, Vikings at San Fran. 26% of you say the Vikings will be moving on with Kirk Cousins. 7.7% say the Texans. They're at Kansas City. And the Titans are at Baltimore. Just 2.6% think that the Titans will upset the Ravens, who are probably Super Bowl champions. You can vote over the next 24 hours. I'll invite you, Nick, to put those headphones on. I hope it's turned on. We're going out to Winnipeg now. TSN Winnipeg's Darren Bombing joins us on a big news day in the CFL. Darren, new owners for the Alouettes, SNS Sport Co. Do you have a take on today's news?
Well, I'm glad it's finally happened, right, Rod? Good to be with you again. Happy New Year, and you as well, Nick. We've been waiting for this for a long time with the Montreal Alouettes. Hopefully this gets the ball rolling and is that first domino to fall so they can get themselves a general manager. I know there was a lot of interest on a couple of the personnel men here in Winnipeg, director of U.S. scouting of the Blue Bombers, Ryan Rigmaiden, assistant general manager, Danny McManus as well, and, you know, reports from TSN and Dave Naylor and Farhan Lalji saying that Ryan Rigmaiden was offered the job and didn't take it. I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to join an organization as the top football operations person either if I didn't know who the ownership was and what direction that might go. So hopefully this long drawn out event in Montreal involving the Canadian Football League, you know, really under control for the last year plus, is finally put to bed and they can move forward. We can start talking football in Montreal again.
Yes, and talking football across the league, we're now about a month away from the start of free agency. It should be wild. Nick Lewis sitting right beside me says, you know, we talked about the Nick Arbuckle trade, and he's saying no slam dunk here just yet that Ottawa's going to sign Nick Arbuckle. What was your take when you heard that trade, and are you surprised that Lapo might not have gone with one of his former Bomber quarterbacks in free agency?
Well, I know there was a lot of speculation that, you know, Paul Appelese would want to go with one of those guys that he knew. Obviously, the success he had in that month and a half with Zach Kolaris and winning Grey Cup back in November, of course. And then the success he has found with Matt Nichols, you know, not a prolific passer, not a 350, 400-yard guy really ever, but able to get the most out of him in operating an offense that really relishes and sees the importance in ball control and in ball security and just not being, you know, a turnover team, being very turnover averse. What I've always seen in Paul Appelese and his time here as offensive coordinator the last 3+ years, you know, time as the head coach here in the past, is that he has always been able to get the most out of what's around him. Because Matt Nichols maybe isn't that prolific passer, and you know, he found ways to utilize that skill set to the best of its ability. The CFL is known as the passing league. Paul Appelese came here and said, we're going to run the football. We're going to control the line of scrimmage. He did that. They built up the offensive line. They built up the talent around Matt Nichols and really made Andrew Harris that focal point of the offense. And it worked extremely well, being, you know, the highest, if not one or two highest scoring offenses in the CFL over the last number of years. Now, Paul Appelese gets his guy. I was led to believe that Nick Arbuckle was somebody Paul Appelese targeted early, probably told general manager Marcel Desjardins when he arrived in Ottawa that that's the quarterback he wanted. They went out and did it. No, probably not a slam dunk that he signs, but I think it would be you know, what the Ottawa Redblacks want. Obviously, they'll want to spend that reported first overall draft, you know, to the Calgary Stampeders to get Nick Arbuckle under contract. What I'm curious to see is now that Paul Appelese gets the quarterback that he wants, if he'll be able to, you know, be able to take, believe it or not, maybe even a bigger step in becoming the best offense in the CFL. He will run the ball. He will work to control the line of scrimmage. He will continue to be that offensive coordinator that preaches ball security over everything, plastered all over the facilities here over the last number of years at IG Field in Winnipeg, has been the ball is the cup. They protect the ball as if it is the championship trophy itself. It worked extremely well, but now we'll see how they can do it in Ottawa with a completely new set of personnel around him.
Darren Bauman covers the Bombers and the Jets for TSN Radio Winnipeg. Darren, can you give me the take of the Bombers? Because when we had Adam Big Hill on here 10 days ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, he said that they're already thinking about repeating. Yeah, the parade's been great and they're taking the trophy everywhere, but they're thinking about 2020, but you don't have a quarterback under contract. No OC's been named yet. What's happening behind the scenes with the blue and gold?
Well, I'll put the first question to bed. I fully expect Buck Pierce to be the new offensive coordinator. He has been that right-hand man to Paul Appelese over the last 3-4 years. Here with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. He is ready. He is seasoned. He has taken his time going through being a receivers coach, being a quarterbacks coach, being a big part of that day-to-day and week-to-week game planning under Paul Appelese. I'd be extremely surprised if Buck Pierce isn't the offensive coordinator. As far as getting a quarterback under contract, you know, I think it's going to take reaching free agency maybe for that to happen. Who knows? We might learn, as the Blue Bombers as an organization have been known to do. They'll make signings, they'll sit on that signing, they'll wait for the right time, the opportune time to get the most traffic to their website, the most media attention, going up against the juggernaut that is the Winnipeg Jets here in Winnipeg in the province of Manitoba. But in the end, I think it is going to be Matt Nichols. That's just my gut. You know, I've had some conversations with Paul Appelese, he tends to think that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, you know, will stay with their guy, that they've seen double-digit regular season wins over the last number of years. But of course, Matt Nichols, as it's always, you know, followed him in his CFL career, he's a polarizing figure. There'll be a lot of fans that are happy to see Matt Nichols back as the number one quarterback. There'll be others that, you know, will criticize that decision. Until we see it, I'm not totally sure. Of course, important to remember is if the Blue Bombers do decide to have Zach Collaros as their starting quarterback for the 2020 season and beyond, they'll have to send a first-round pick, their first-round pick, to the Toronto Argonauts. Of course, that is the ninth overall pick, much more digestible when you're getting the championship rings made up, and it is the ninth pick in the draft and not a higher one. But, of course, that is a valuable piece of football commodity for general manager Kyle Walters. They lost Jonathan Kongbo, their first-round pick last year. He signed with the San Francisco 49ers. You know, Jeff Gray is not quite or was not this past year ready to be that starting offensive lineman. They might lose another. Michael Couture, their starting center for the majority of this year. They might lose him in free agency. So there's some things at play. But in the end, I think it will come down to one of those two quarterbacks, Matt Nichols or Zach Collaros. And in today's CFL landscape, hey, maybe we'll see them sign both, because I don't know if that's going to be financially possible, but, you know, as we've seen in a variety of teams, you need two quarterbacks to win in this league. The Blue Bombers definitely needed two, even three. You mix in Chris Streveler, they needed that to be Grey Cup champions this year.
Hey, lastly, I mentioned you covered the Jets. It's for NHL.com. I was reading some stuff on them this morning that they're sliding big time. Their defense has been exposed. And if it wasn't for Connor Hellebuck, they wouldn't even be in games. What's the take on the Jets here as we sit early in the new year?
Yeah, they're extremely injured, right? You know, Andrew Kopp may be ready to come back against the Montreal Canadiens upcoming here. They've had a variety of injuries that have knocked out guys. Brian Little, Matthew Perreault, the entire back end of the defense is extremely injured as well. And he was even coming into this year where, you know, that they didn't have Jacob Trouba. They were going very young. And then Dustin Byfuglien in that situation where, you know, he's been suspended. That's the official capacity of it. But a lot of, you know, speculation of where, you know, the real story lies in Dustin Byfuglien's decision to potentially retire or potentially, you know, return. There's been some reporting at The Athletic this past week. I believe it was Justin Bourne who said, you know, he expects, you know, or he believes that Dustin Byfuglien will return. But in today's NHL, you can't count anybody out. Look what the St. Louis Blues did last year. You can even go back, you know, almost 8 or 9 years now to where the Los Angeles Kings took that eighth seed all the way to the Stanley Cup. Goaltending is the key. Connor Hellebuck had a bit of a rocky December. They're hoping he gets back into form. In my opinion, he is a top five, maybe even a top three goaltender in the NHL today. But if the Jets can get healthy and they can get some, you know, a little bit more solidified on the back end in that defense, and a return of Dustin Byfuglien would help a heck of a lot. That's an obvious statement. I think Winnipeg can, you know, shake things up and get back into that conversation. Right now, they are kind of battling day to day with where they've been. I think they've lost six of their past eight games to hang on to that wild card spot. The Central Division is extremely tough. I don't think they're going to get any relief or help from those teams that are really pushing, you know, in a very strong Central Division.
Darren, thanks for this. Thanks for all you do for us. You're one of the busiest guys in the country, so I appreciate the time. And Happy New Year. We'll chat with you down the road soon.
Happy New Year to you guys, too. Rod, I always got time for you, buddy. I'm kind of enjoying taking a little bit of time here in a slower January.
Oh, good. Appreciate it. Thanks, Darren. Have a good one. Darren Bomming, TSN Winnipeg and NHL.com, joining us today from the Manitoba Capital. Nick Lewis with us here in the bunker, and you were nodding your head like Nick Lewis bobblehead day, that Buck Pearce is going to be the next head coach of the Blue Bombers. That's just a foregone conclusion. So some of these announcements, yeah, you're liking that?
I love it. Man, I love Buck Pearce, man. He's a no, I think he's going to do a really great job with it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And just a good guy. He's been through the wars, and he's paid his dues.
Yes, he has.
Right? Yeah. Now, I'm seeing this Wayne writes in from Victoria. He says, I can't wait for free agency in the CFL this year. Craig Smith writes in, next few months will be interesting in our league. Can't wait. Hashtag love the CFL. Well, we all do. And I think that's why we love giving it this kind of coverage here in the offseason, because it never really does slow down. It shouldn't slow down. And again, if you just joined us, the Alouettes have new owners today. SNS Sports Co. have purchased the Alouettes from the CFL. Sid Spiegel and Gary Stern are the new coaches of the team. I got to ask you this, Nick. It was our poll question on Friday. Should CFL teams allow players out of their contracts for NFL opportunities? And I'm not talking guys that are going to be a free agent in 6 weeks. I'm talking about a guy that's got a year or two left on his deal, like a Trey Roberson. Calgary let him out of his deal, right, to pursue an NFL contract. Over 70% of our viewers said they should, but you know coaches and personnel people don't want to do that. Where are you on what's going on in the league right now?
I just think it should be some kind of agreement. I don't believe that a guy should be able to go try out for the NFL and then come back, try to get more money from the team or go to a different team. So I think that there should be a window to let guys out. I mean, you don't want to hold guys hostage. There's enough guys that can play in this league, and you don't want to hold them hostage. But you understand the money difference and the difference it can make in their lives and their families and everything. So you want to give them that opportunity, but there should be something in place that allows – the team to still keep their rights at sure. that same pay or whatever the case is when they return.
Shouldn't be that hard to make that tweak, I wouldn't think. A great example's here. You're following it closely. Jordan Williams-Lambert gets the Riders' blessing to go work out with the Bears. Doesn't make it, remains Riders' property, comes back, but then has to wait his time to get onto the roster because Manny Arsenault's replaced him and is doing great things. Jay Will, he's a mature enough guy. You coached him as a guest coach. You know how good a guy he is.
Love him.
He's right.
A great player.
But the guys have to also understand that when they leave, you're going to be replaced.
That's the job. And that's the goal every year. Your goal is, as a coach, is to replace the players. It's to bring in better people. And if you try to find better players, and then you hope players go out and they work a hard and off season and take that next step every year. And that's always the fun part. As a player, it was always fun because I knew every day those coaches were going out to replace me. And I knew every day I was working that they couldn't replace me. You know, so it's a challenge to step up and to compete. Like, you have to love competition in order to do this for a long time. You can't just love the game. You have to love to compete every day at practice. You know, me, Cope, and Rambo, and Romby used to compete every day at practice. It was a competition every day at practice, and it just carried over to the game. And that's what you have to love to do.
So Sean writes in from Saskatoon. On the flip side, he says, the player turnover is bad for the league. If they are under contract, fulfill that contract. That's why I'm not sure there's a right or wrong answer on this. I understand that. But a great example is James Neal of the Oilers. Four teams in 4 years. It's not just the CFL. The NHL's been doing it for years. And it's freedom for the players. I mean, for 100 years, the CFL, and you know this, Nick, has had all the leverage on the players.
Yep.
They're not asking for a ton back, but this would be one. And I guess if you had to vote on that question, should they allow players out of their deals, are you voting yes or are you voting no? Because you've seen it now from the players, but also the coach's perspective.
Yeah, I would vote yes. I mean,
yeah.
But I understand what you're saying. But, Sean, it's a one-sided thing. The contract is basically toilet paper.
Yeah.
When the coach or the GM was ready to rip up the contract, it's ripped up. There's no guaranteed money in it. So, therefore, you don't even know if you're going to have a job come that next season. I mean, Kobe Reinhart, a guy who was a CFL All-Star in the West, the next season was cut in Calgary, went to Montreal and played 1 year. I mean, he was an All-Star the year previous. So to say that a player shouldn't have the opportunity to at least go make more money is not right, especially when you're under contract for a certain amount of money. And once you start making more money, you know you're on the chopping block. They're not cutting the guys that's making $50,000 to $70,000. They're cutting the guys that are making the money. And you know that when you start making a lot of money in the CFL, they're looking to replace you with someone equal or comparable, because they can save money on it.
So, ask all those guys that are out of jobs right now. Marcus Ball, yeah, he signed late with the Stamps. Otho Foster, it's the same thing. The teams are saying they can find somebody cheaper that can do the same thing. Now, the guys, the Cody Fajardos that are making big money, the Bull Levis and Mike Riley are 0.0001% of the players. So don't talk about them. But if you want to compare it to somebody around here, how about Weston Dressler, who signed a four-year deal coming out of 2015, and Jones coming out of 2014, plays 1 year of it, and Jones cuts him. That's what Nick's talking about.
Yep.
The contracts don't mean anything.
No, and you know, that's one of the things that Jones wanted to do. He wanted to come in. He wanted to change the salary cap because instead of being top-heavy, look at Calgary. Calgary has, I think, the most players that's making over $100,000. They don't have the highest-paid players. And Huff is up front with you. He's like, you'll never be the highest paid player here. But, you know, you're going to win and you're going to have an opportunity to succeed. They don't want to just cut you and have you go anywhere. Calgary loves to produce their own players. They're not big in free agency. They love to bring the guys in, grow them. Kamar Jordan's been there since 2012.
And just became a star a couple of years ago.
Exactly. You know, I've seen all these guys. Eric Rogers sit on the PR that whole season until we wrapped up the West. And he didn't play till the last two games of the season. So, I mean, I've seen guys sit there and wait their time and do it. And, yeah, they deserve the opportunity to. But I think it should go both ways. I think it should benefit the team as much as the player.
Do we have? We've got Cliffy D. Pine coming in next. Nick, I'm going to thank you for coming in. That went by real fast.
Real fast.
I appreciate it. We'll do it again soon. How did you enjoy sitting in this chair, by the way?
I was great.
Any
man.
Difference?
I appreciate it. No, not at all. I love it.
A walk in the park. Well, it looked like it was so easy. He's one of these guys, could play guitar, host a show, catch 10,000 passes, whatever. No big deal. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll be back in a moment with an Alouettes update. Cliffy D. Pine joining us from Montreal on the new ownership of the Alouettes. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snowbeef.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%. That's people.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Monday morning or afternoon, depending where you're watching the program. DuPont slides in. Big news in the CFL today. The CFL club, the Montreal Alouettes, have been purchased by SNS Sports Co., a corporate entity owned by Sid Spiegel and Gary Stern. They are introduced this morning at a news conference in Montreal, and we're going there now. Cliffy D. Pine joins us from the alternative.com blog. Got a little bit of feedback there. We're good now. Cliffy, happy Monday to you, sir. And I tell you what, we didn't see this ownership group coming down the pipe. What are your thoughts on the new owners of the Alouettes?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm just as taken aback as you are, Rod. I mean, we had certain names that were being bandied about through the past couple of months, and turns out, no, they go in a completely different direction altogether and hire these two fellows from the steel industry. So this is this was definitely out of left field.
Well, we were on the air when the news conference was going on. Apparently, Randy Ambrosi had some interesting things to say, and obviously these guys were introduced. What was your take on the announcement and the direction of your favorite football team?
Well, I'm still learning about these guys just like you are. There's definitely a lot to be positive about because it sounds like they're very much football fans with a lot of money, which most cases you'd be kind of leery about investing a football team with these guys. But I mean, it sounds like they've got their eggs in a basket. It sounds like they've got a plan in mind, which is definitely important, especially considering how for the past couple of years, the Alouettes have sort of been, as I've stated, a ship without a rudder. So if these guys have an actual game plan in mind as far as where this Alouettes team is going to go, then I say we got no choice but to get excited about this.
What is their plan, Cliffy, in terms of the president and the general manager? Did they divulge any of that during the press conference?
They did mention that they'd like to have, by Friday, of all things, in place a new president and general manager, which would explain why Patrick Boivin, the former president of the Alouettes, was let go last Friday. So it sounds like what a lot of people were speculating was that if he's being let go after being potentially associated with one of the other ownership groups, that means that, well, I guess there's new owners that are going to come in and they're going to install their own people in place. So with this word that Spiegel and Stern have come in and they've made this announcement that they're hoping by Friday to have in place both the general manager and the president, which I think is a very, very bold move.
Holy smokes.
If they've got that plan in place, then, like I said, I'm curious to see just who they choose for these positions.
Well, somebody wrote in here and suggested Chris Jones. What do you think about that as the next guy running the Alouettes?
Well, he's still under contract with the Cleveland Browns, but again, contracts usually aren't worth the paper they're written on, so I guess anything's possible, but I don't know. I know for a fact, though, that the president of the Alouettes, they did say, would be fully bilingual, which means speaking French. I don't know how good Chris Jones' French is, but... I don't see it myself. Hey, I've been wrong before.
Yeah, I have several times by about 10 times by 10 o'clock this morning. Continue, though. Obviously, I'm not going to kick around any names here because we don't know. But I'll ask you this. Randy Ambrosi apparently apologized for the way this looked throughout the whole process. Did you think he needed to apologize? Was it as bad as... Because the media is going to crap all over anything anyways. That's what they do, right? Make fun of the CFL because it's in vogue to do that. Do you think the Ambrosi had to apologize? I don't.
I do. And actually, I just talked about this. I actually just put up an article on The Alternative talking about how I'm kind of laying the blame at his feet as far as to why this ownership group hasn't come into place already. Because as far as I'm concerned, this should have been a done deal. The minute the Grey Cup was handed out, this Alouettes ownership situation should have been taken care of right there and then. And to ask the fans to keep being patient and trust the process and all that stuff, that's all well and good. But at the same time, you better have something in place. And it just felt like, especially after so many general manager candidates were coming in, being interviewed, and then being told, thanks, but no thanks. And you're letting some very quality football people walk out the door. You better have one hell of a plan in place is all I've got to say. And I haven't seen that from Randy Ambrosi. So, yes, I definitely think he had to come forth and say, listen, this is on me. I apologize, but there is a plan in place, and here it is. So I'm thinking this announcement today is step one of that plan.
How much is Randy Ambrosi and the CFL going to stay involved in this? You know, they talked about a $250,000 cap for the general manager, you know, had some other things in place. How much are they going to kind of control what this new ownership group can do, at least in the short term? I kind of alluded to maybe training wheels for a group who maybe hasn't owned a professional sports team in the past. How much is the CFL going to have their hand in this, at least short term?
I'm sure they're going to have some say in things. I think one of the things that they had talked about was they wanted to offer their suggestions and sort of counsel them a little bit. I know Wally Buono is, as far as I know, still a part of the whole committee, if you will, that's been in place as far as the general manager search goes. So maybe that they'll have him come in and sort of give a little bit of insight from a front office perspective as to how these guys should be proceeding when it comes to finding their next president and general manager. I think the league will have a little bit things, but if they're going to be essentially asking these new owners to come in and install some of Buddy, I'd be very, very concerned about that.
Cliffy, I appreciate the update on short notice. Thanks for all this. All the best in 2020, and let's do it again soon.
Absolutely. All the best to you as well.
All right. One of the best blogger names in the CFL, Cliffy D. Pine. And it's like the longer we go at Cliffy, it was perfect for the longest time, and then right at the end of the interview, something happened.
Yeah.
Remember the last time we had him on?
Yeah, just
I thought there was somebody dropped a bomb on Montreal.
I know, right? But no,
he covered the important stuff.
Oh yeah, he got it all in there. That was good. Good update. Answered a lot of the good questions that I had. But Friday, I thought maybe by the end of the month they'd have a president and general manager in place. But Friday, they've
but I love that.
Been doing the work, and they're just going to pick up right where the CFL left off in the search for both of those positions. And I love that they're going to act fast.
So do I. I just love. I don't know anything about outside sports. I know about sports and entertainment. Worked in it my whole life. When you know who you want, go get them.
Yeah,
or her. None of this window dressing and, oh, we're going to ask for permission to talk to this guy. But when you don't even want to hire him anyways,
yeah,
go hire the guy you want. And it sounds like they know who they want. When we come back, the overtime segment, and we have got a ton to get to, recapping today's show, what we've learned, and some more breaking news, perhaps. It's the Rod Peterson Show on a Monday morning. You're watching on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. We have a massive inventory of all make, all models pre-owned inventory, and you gotta see it to believe it. Trade up on this pre-owned 2018 Volkswagen Golf all-wheel drive for only $19,999 plus tax. Or get into this loaded pre-owned 2018 Ford Explorer all-wheel drive for only $32,999 plus tax. It's time to trade and upgrade at Canada's number one pre-owned Ford store, Capital Ford Pre-Owned.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody, for the overtime segment, proudly brought to you by Emerald Water. Emerald Water, YQR. It's what keeps us refreshed here in our Direct West water bottle, which, by the way, I was using this Direct West app. It's Sask 411, my Sask 411 app. Do you know how it works? I was using it all weekend.
I use it.
You know when you go on Google, if you're traveling and you type in a coffee shop, hair salon, restaurant, it's all the restaurants and those things around you.
Yeah.
They do it for Saskatchewan, but it's to your phone.
Yeah.
All the closest ones to you of Saskatchewan businesses.
That's cool.
Been using it all weekend.
That's great.
Now,
when you've lived here for most of your life, you don't necessarily need it. I'm talking about newcomers traveling into town. You know what I'm saying.
Best part is when you go to the small communities or you go to Saskatoon.
Right, if you're somewhere that you don't necessarily know everything.
Yeah.
Where you're at. So my Sask 411, download it, use it. And every week we will be featuring Saskatchewan businesses featured on the MySask 411 app. We use it. We recommend it. Sports on tap tonight for the Tap Brew Pub and Eatery, Regina's only drive-through beer and wine store. I should mention last night in the dub, your Blades lost in Edmonton. Top team in the East Conference, right? 4-3. Sounds like a hell of a game.
Yeah. One of the top teams in the country. It was a really good game. The Blades were down early. I think they were down 4-0 early, a game that was televised. Not many are anymore.
Yeah.
But it was televised. They were down 4-0 early. They made it close. They made it interesting. So a lot of fight. Be interesting to see what they do at the deadline.
Brandon, of course, blanking the Pats here 5-0. I am proud to report that of my preseason predictions that everybody poo-pooed.
Yeah.
I had the top three right and the bottom three right, and we'll see how it all sorts out.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty happy with that, although it looks like the Pats are going to be in a battle for the basement, which is unfortunate. Seattle beat Swift Current 4-2 last night. Calgary thumped Moose Jaw 7-2. Prince Albert beating Moose Jaw. Sorry, Prince Albert beating Winnipeg 5-3, and Kelowna smoked Tri-City 7-3. No games in the SJ last night. No games tonight in the SJ. I know you've been waiting all year for this, what's going to be on television tonight. I know you've been waiting all year. The Lending Tree Bowl.
Yeah. I had that circled on my calendar.
Your favorite team, Louisiana Lafayette.
Yeah.
Taking on the University of Miami, Ohio. That is Milt Stegall's alma mater, by the way. Milt will just be glued to TSN. He might even be at the game. It's in Mobile, Alabama.
He might.
A short drive from Milton. Milt the Stilt. And in the NHL tonight, there's a lunch on the line at Ballers Rec Room. Oilers at Leafs tonight.
I'll be watching that.
You well, of course.
Too. We won't watch it together.
No.
Can't watch it together.
Here's the bet. Me against DuPont and Clark, the two Leafs fans. Me, the Oilers fan. Should be a great game. It'll be a really good game.
Yeah, it should be. It should be a really good game. Oilers are playing well again, it seems like. The Leafs are playing really well. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Winnipeg at Montreal. Colorado at the Islanders and Columbus at Los Angeles. Checking the poll question. I love how everybody's congratulating you on the Titans win, like you played.
Yeah, I'm the only one around here that's a Titans fan.
Are you literally the only one around?
Yeah, there's a few. There's very few of us. Very few of us. We might start a club. But no, official Titans fan club for Canada, I think we might start. I don't know.
You could hold your meetings in a phone booth.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, we could.
That's Clark liked that laugh. I can hear you, Clark.
He's like, what's a phone booth?
Yeah, right. What is a phone? What's a pay phone? The poll question for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. Which road team has the greatest chance at a divisional upset this weekend? Well, both on Twitter and Facebook, the results are the same. 67% of you saying the Seahawks will upset the Packers at Green Bay. What a classic game. Seahawks-Packers at Lambeau.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it?
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be really great. And wasn't that... That reminds me, Seattle-Green Bay in the playoffs. Who was the quarterback for the Seahawks? Matt Hasselbeck. He took the coin toss in overtime and said, we want the ball, we're going to win. We want the ball and we're going to score, whatever he said. And the Packers were like, excuse me? And what first series or the first few plays, was it Harris was the cornerback, picked six to win the game for Green Bay. Picked him off, shoved the words down his throat. That was pretty good. Yeah.
Prairie Mobile text line 306-840-8777 reaches us, 840-8777. Buy now, pay later at Prairie Mobile. All smartphones are $0 every day using SaskTel Plus pricing. Family business, families trust Prairie Mobile. We do. It's where we get all our phones from. Anonymous texter writes in, that's right, I've been out of touch for a while. Oh, it's Metal Shingle Guy having holidays in Jamaica. Happy New Year to you and your crew. He had written in earlier, wanted me to ask Paul LaPolice if they were going to talk to Chris Jones about being the defensive coordinator in Ottawa, and I said no.
They've already hired Mike Benavides there.
Yeah.
Boy, did we learn a lot, by the way, but just hang on. Leonard writes in. He says, the question is, if Chris Jones was hired to be Montreal's GM, will he allow Kahari Jones room to breathe and coach, since Chris Jones likes to micromanage everything and wear so many hats? It's a good question from Leonard. Let's wait to see who they actually hire as general manager before we pick apart that hire. And then Brady from Saskatoon writes in, he says, the TSN camera is probably the most talked about sports news out of the World Juniors. That is unfortunate.
It is, but it's talkable.
It's the way it is. You can't control what people talk about,
no,
right?
No, you can't. And it might even be more talked about than the NFL playoffs. Just amazing. I saw a report from, it was on my Score app. I get the notification from the Score app, and it said, Russian TV network makes huge mistake. They aired the World Junior Final from 2011, where Russia won.
Don't!
They aired that instead of the live game.
That was Russia 40 years ago. Just so it looked to all their viewers that Russia won.
And all the fans in Russia were celebrating, thinking that was the real game. And it wasn't.
Somehow, so now they're all disappointed. Somehow Putin's behind that.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Nick Lewis today just continues to be television and radio gold. He said, and by the way, he's very plugged in. Gave us a lot of coaching news that we're not going to repeat. But he doesn't think that it's a slam dunk that the Ottawa Redblacks are signing Nick Arbuckle.
No.
And if who else would know better than Nick? He knows a hell of a lot better than us. You know, my contention was this. When's the last time there's been a trade and sign deal that the trade didn't accompany a signing afterwards? I could name you. Named James Franklin did it in Toronto. Darren Durant did it in Montreal. Kevin Glenn did it in Montreal. He's saying don't sleep on Nick Arbuckle signing somewhere else.
Right. But I will cite some recent history in BC. They let go of Devon Claybrooks pretty early, and they got Rick Campbell. Now, what they did was they got themselves a 2-3 week head start over the Edmonton Eskimos, because they were still in the playoffs. So they couldn't be, you know, hiring a coach. They still had one in Jason Moss right up until after the season. So you let go of Devon Claybrooks. You allow yourself 2-3 weeks of negotiating time with Rick Campbell before anything happens. And lo and behold, they get their guy. So I do like the move for Ottawa because it allows them some time leading up to free agency, because there's that little window before where other teams can offer contracts. But you got all this time now to negotiate with Nick Arbuckle, know what he's looking for, start to sell him on the program, and they've got a leg up. So it might not, we're not guaranteeing him signing in Ottawa, but they do have that leg up, which is nice.
They got some time.
They got some time.
But it's just, it's again, not something to sleep on.
No.
That it's not a slam dunk. JR is watching in Cranbrook, BC this morning. He says Wally Buono will be the president of the Alouettes and he'll pick the GM. I don't know about that. Last I saw of Wally, which was in the last 24 hours, he's barbecuing shrimp in Hawaii.
Doesn't sound like a guy who's going to run a football team.
I don't think he even wants to run a football team.
He's doing those meetings from the committee via the video chat, the Facebook portal, and right from Hawaii.
Consulting's the way to go.
Yeah.
He can do it from anywhere.
Yep.
And Wally's like Hannah Montana. He's got the best of both worlds. Did you ever watch that show?
I've seen it. Yeah, I won't lie. It was on after school.
My kids came home one time after school, saw me watching Hannah Montana. I was alone. They thought it was very scary.
A little weird.
Huh? I like the show. Good storylines. What else? Oh, and Nick on the Cowboys. You're hearing it everywhere from a lot of Cowboys fans, particularly. How could this be the most coveted job in sports, being the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys? Nick Lewis went deep on why it is. Why it is. And that's the whole thing, is what you think you see out there, people, is very rarely what's actually going on. Fair?
Fair.
We talk about that
very fair
every day. And the reason the Dallas Cowboys head coaching job is so coveted is that Jerry Jones is not a tyrant to work for.
Family.
9.5 years Jason Garrett had there and didn't do squat.
Family.
He runs it like the family business, which isn't always a good thing either. A lot of times saying it's a family business is just an excuse for nepotism.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that too. As long as you're hiring quality people. But Nick, you got to go back and watch the whole interview with Nick Lewis today. He was simply sensational. And why, Nick explained, and here's a guy that's been a pro coach the last few years, why the Dallas Cowboys job probably is the most coveted head coaching job in sports. And the other fun thing today was Paul Appelese joining us from his family home in Rhode Island in his Elmer Fudd plaid flannel coat and his Red Sox cap.
Yeah.
I love this show showing guys out of their element, which is actually in their element.
Yeah.
All you see them is at a podium, at a news conference, or standing on the side of the field after practice being interviewed. You never see them at home.
Yeah. That's so cool.
That's why I think that people love this so much.
That's so cool. It's real.
Yeah.
It's real. So you get to join them for coffee in their living room, and you get to join us for coffee in our element. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Anything else before we go off the air?
No,
before I announce tomorrow's guest.
Yeah, the only other thing I learned is the Mike McCarthy sleepover at Jerry Jones's house, which I think is just endlessly funny that he had a sleepover at Jerry Jones's house. And the source said, once you stay overnight at Jerry's house, he doesn't lose his guy.
So I'll tell you one funny story. I got a friend who played for the Weyburn Red Wings. He went on to be one of the owners of the Arizona Coyotes. And we've stayed in touch. Not shockingly, he is a staunch Republican and a Republican donor and supporter. And he said he stayed over one night in the White House when George Bush Jr. was the president of the United States.
Wow.
And his stories of staying overnight in the White House, unbelievable. I think he said George W. Bush, was wearing pajamas, was barefoot, and had a cowboy hat. Yeah. And he went and checked in on my friend, and I think he had a sleeping bag under his arm. George Bush. And he was like, where are y'all bunking in at tonight? Want to know where he was sleeping. Like, do you need the sleeping bag? From George W. Bush. Barefoot, cowboy hat.
Wow.
In the White House.
That's cool.
Old school.
Yeah. Is that how it went at Jerry's house? I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows?
We're going to roll. Tomorrow, from CFL Winter Meetings, and thank you to the CFL for lining this up, the commissioner, Randy Ambrosi, will be with us on the program live, and also the head coach of the Edmonton Eskimos, Scott Milanovich, will be with us live, both on video chat from CFL Winter Meetings in Ontario. Thank you to Clark for lining that up, and Cool Hand Luke. Thanks to all of our guests today. It's been a big one. It'll be just as big tomorrow. We'll see you at 10 a.m. Central right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.